how do I do this and that sort of thing. Those sort of questions he will not ask because he has already controlled his mind. He has already purified his mind. So he's not going to ask, how do I purify my mind and how do I do all this? Those things he's not going to ask. It shows his superiority, his evolvement. He's spiritually already quite evolved, but not reached. So he's like at the final stage, and that's what now he's asking. What is that final stage? And therefore, this Upanishad talks about meditation completely. And the teacher is Bhagavantam, none other Bhagavan than Brahmaji himself, the creator. Brahmaji had the knowledge of the self-knowledge. He had it. And it is said, I told you, in Brahmaloka, which is Krama Mukti, he does give it out as well. Okay. So the first mantra, actually pre-mantra, and then the first mantra says, Adihi Bhagavan Brahma Vidyam Varishtam. So he's addressing Brahmaji Bhagavan as Bhagavan. I told you we must treat our guru as Bhagavan, means we will have complete faith and respect for this teacher. When we have faith and respect in the person, we tend to listen more attentively and we tend to pay more attention and we also tend to do things that he might be telling us. Adihi, please tell me this Varishtham Brahma Vidyam. So very superior, very supreme Brahma Vidya, please tell me, which is understood by Sadbihi, those people Sadbihi. So those people who are good people, good people, Sada Sadbihi Sevemanam, those who are good people. But this knowledge is nigudham. It is very secret knowledge. And I told you, secret not known by the senses, known by only a very few people, known by only, told to those people who are only qualified to receive that knowledge. That's why that is the connotation of the word secret. It's not a secret. It's an open secret, actually. But people don't even want to listen to it. So when people don't want to listen to it, then there's no really point telling them. And what will happen by knowing this knowledge? Why do I want this knowledge? It is said, yaya acharat sarva papam vipoham. So all my sins will be washed away, will be destroyed, vipoham, will be destroyed. And the greatest sin that I am committing is thinking myself to be the body, thinking myself to be other than this Brahman. That is the greatest sin that I'm committing. And that sin will be mainly washed away. Paratparam Purusham Yati Vidvan. This Vidvan, this Purusha who is can reach the highest Purusha. This is the Vidvan who are the wise men. They are the ones, it is said, that they can reach this Purusha, this highest reality. So this is why I want to know this reality. And the answer was given in the next mantra. Tasmai Saho Acha. Tasmai Saha Uvacha Pitamahasya. Pitamahasya, grandsire, grandfather. The great one replied, three things, Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana Yoga. So three things have been told. You must have faith. Faith is, as per Tattva Bodh, I told you, it is Guru Vedanta Vakya. Vakya Dishu Vishwasaha, the belief in the statement of the Guru and the scriptures. Faith, first of all, there has to be faith that there is a God, there is Brahman, there is some higher reality. Maybe I don't know what it is, but there is something up there. Then second faith is the scriptures, in the scriptures that which are going to tell me about that God. Third faith has to be, because I can't read the scriptures directly. I cannot read them, the Vedas directly. So I need an interpreter, and the interpreter is the Guru. So I have to have faith in the Guru who is telling me that this is in the script. If I keep saying, oh, who knows, then I'm not going to get that knowledge. So I must have faith in the Guru. Then I must have faith in the means. So if the Guru is telling me that Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana is the means, I must have faith that yes, that this is correct and this is what I need to follow. And secondly, lastly, the fifth faith I must have in myself, that come what may, I'm willing to do this. I want this goal. Only when we want the goal will we go for the means. So first the goal has to be fixed, and the goal now he has already fixed that knowledge, Varishtham Brahma Vidyam, I want, which will destroy all my sins. So he has confirmed the goal. He has told the goal to Brahmaji. And now he's asking for the means. So he must have faith in the means that Brahmaji is going to be telling him. The very fact that he came to Brahmaji means indicates that he knows that Brahmaji knows. It's like Arjun surrendering to Bhagwan Shri Krishna because Arjun knows that Bhagwan has the answers. What is the point in my going to somebody, you know, I want to know something about cooking. Now I'm going to somebody who is a physicist or something. There's no point. How is that person going to tell me that, right? So the very fact that he has approached Brahmaji is indicating that Brahmaji, same thing with Kathopanishad, Nachiketas approaches Lord Death and he asks the question, you know, what is after death? You're the Lord of Death, so you must know what is there after death. So you have to approach the correct person with whatever that you want. In our scriptures, in Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, it comes. This is the original. Anyway, we have seen it in Tattvabodh and other texts. The three means to reaching the highest reality are given as Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. Shravanam, listening, indicating to us that a guru is required. It is not saying reading. It doesn't say reading. It says listening. So listening which already indicates the presence of a speaker. When it is said listening. And listening has to be done with faith. See, there are three things here. So Shraddha, listening, Shravanam has to be done with the predominance of faith. Because when you're listening, and if you don't have faith, every single thing you're going to keep questioning. The doubt, is that true? How you will get that knowledge? So Shravanam, have faith. See, what you must do actually in the beginning, have blind faith. That now that I've approached this person, this teacher, and this teacher is telling me these things, okay, fine. I'm going to just blindly believe what this person says. And the next is mananam. And there, bhakti is required, devotion. So predominance of bhakti for mananam. What you do is you do shravanam first. While you're listening, you just listen. What happens is, you know, while you're listening, your own mind is going. Is it like this? Is it like this? And then you miss out on what is being said. So in Shravanam, the perfect Shravanam is when you just only listen and not think. You should not think, why is this being said? What? So complete focus on what is there. If you want, you can take down notes or whatever. But complete focus. And then the Mananam is there. Then you go back to your notes and then you now start thinking, oh, this was said. Why was this said? I don't understand this. Then you can go back to the teacher. So in Shravanam, predominance of faith. That's why Shraddha is told first. Then in Mananam, predominance of bhakti. Bhakti means love here. Devotion a part of it because the reverence, if the reverence is there for the teacher, it will be a little bit of devotion, but more love. When you love somebody, And that person tells you something, you're more likely to listen to that person, right? As opposed to if somebody I don't like is telling me, even if they might be telling me the correct thing, I might tend not to believe them or not to follow what they're telling me. So love is required. Bhakti is required in Mananam. So with that love, you keep thinking. Keep thinking, this was said, is this true? Can this be true? What is my experience? What is logic? So all these kinds of things, thinking should be done in Mananam. And finally, Nididhyasanam, which is meditation, Dhyana, which is the main topic of this book, you require complete alertness and vigilance. See, meditation is not you relax and then fall asleep. It is not, people do meditation for relaxation. That's why Gurudev always said that they are shortchanging themselves. Because meditation can take you to the highest reality. But now what they're doing is they're only doing it for relaxation, which you can get even by a good night's sleep. But that is how it is. So this is Shraddha, Bhakti and Dhyana. And for all this knowledge, of course, Vairagya is required. There is a higher dispassion and a lower dispassion. Lower dispassion is to the world. Higher dispassion is finally to the ego itself, to your own ego. Okay. So what is meant by dispassion to the ego? When the ego gets hurt, you don't get hurt. When somebody says something, you know, bad to you, then understand that it is the ego that is hurting and I can never get hurt. I being the highest reality. So we were here. Now we go on to the next two verses, 3 and 4. These verses are you have, all of you must have heard, because this is what we chant when Swamiji's come to receive them. Please note that these verses must only be chanted to those who are in orange, not to anybody else. Okay. And now when you know the meaning of it, then you will know why. Actually, there is a tune to this one. Nakarmana na prajayadhani tyage naike amrutatvamanashu parena nakam nihitam guhayam vibhrajate yatayat vishanti vedanta vidyana sunishchitarthat sanyasa yogad yatayat shuddha sattvaha te brahma lokeshu para antakale paramrutat parimuchanti sarve. So these two verses we chant, plus a little bit more, but these two verses are there in the Purna Kumbha, what we call Purna Kumbha. Not by work, na karmana, not by work, mantra number three. Not by prajani, na prajaya. Prajaya comes from praja. Praja actually means, you know, my kingdom, my people. But here prajaya means progeny, means my own children. Nor by prajani, nor by wealth, dhanena. So that na goes with na karmana, na prajaya, na dhanena. That na goes with all three. But by renunciation alone, tyagena eke, tyagena, tyaga, renunciation, we'll see alone. Immortal, amrutatvam anashuhu. Immortality is, anashu is to come. Immortality comes, immortality is attained. Higher than heaven, parena nakam. Nakam is heaven, and I'll explain that as well. Parena, para, we have seen para. So up higher, superior. Higher than heaven, seated in the cave of the intellect. Nihitam guhayam vibhrajate yat yat yovishanti. In the cave of the intellect, it shines, which the seekers attain. All right. So let us see. So this... The second mantra, Brahmaji said, what will give that? What is the question? Question is, I want that Varishtham Brahma Vidyam, that superior Brahma Vidya, the highest knowledge, the supreme reality. That is what I want to attain. Okay. So then Brahmaji said, Shraddha, Bhakti, and Dhyana will give it to you. Okay. Shraddha representing Shravanam, Bhakti representing Mananam, and Dhyana representing Nididhyasanam, Shravanam, Madanam, Nididhyasanam, that. Now he says, not by action, karma, na karmana. So he's saying not by action. So why is he saying not by action? We have seen these ideas many times, but we'll revise them again. Karma, first thing is karma is finite. And what we are looking for is infinite. So something finite can never give something which is infinite. Okay. Karma by itself can do four things. Okay, it can produce, it can obtain, it can purify, and it can modify. So produce. I don't have something, right? I can produce it. I can make a table, I can make a chair, I can build a house, I can do that. Okay, fine. Second is obtain. Okay, I don't have it. I can go to the market, buy it. I have money. I can go buy it. I can obtain it. I can either create it myself, painting. I can create it myself, or I can go obtain it. I can go buy it. Okay. But purify. Purify is like gold. You know, the metals, when they get it from the mines, then it's very impure. So what they do is they take out all the impurities, and then there is the pure gold, pure silver, pure metal, whatever. So purification, that action can do. And then modify. So I have something, I have a vase, a clay vase, but now I don't want the clay vase. I want something else, or I can break it and then make something else. So modify. Okay. Or I have gold, I can modify them into ornaments. I have clay, I can modify them into a vase or a doll or whatever. Now the thing is, what we want is Atma. Right, highest Brahma Vidya. What is that? That is that Brahman. And what is Brahman? Brahman is Atma only. Atma, see, there is two words, Atma and Brahman. Atma is referred to the individual soul, so Jiva, Atma. And Brahman is referred to the entire substratum, all. And what we need to achieve is that understand the oneness between Atman and Brahman. I am Atma Brahma. This Atma is Brahman. Atma is aham, I, what I call I. Right now in my head, when I say I, I'm pointing at my body. I'm talking about my body or my mind or my intellect. But actually the I is Atma, which is independent and which is none other than Brahman. All right. So we are trying to get that Atma. Get the Atma means what? Atma we already have. Please. It is not get means we are trying to realize the oneness between Atma and Brahman. Now, as per karma, I can obtain it. Now, is Atma something that I don't have? I already have Atma. Now, if I already have Atma, why would I want to obtain it? I cannot obtain something that I have. See, I can ask for a beautiful face. I can say that my face is not beautiful. But can I ask for a whole head? Head is the face. I feel that I'm not beautiful. I can ask for, you know, whatever. What do they do? I forget the word. Anyway, what I don't have, I can obtain. But what I already have, how I can obtain? I can't get a head. I can ask for a beautiful face, but a head I cannot get. Now, because why? Because I already have a head. Physical head, maybe not mentally, intellectual head, I mean, physical head I have. So Atma I already have. So I cannot obtain it. Okay. Can I produce it? It is already produced and it is unborn. How I can produce another Atma? Karma can do produce, but Atma can I produce? So how karma will help me there? Purify. Can I purify Atma? Atma is ever pure. Shruti tells us it is ever pure. What is there to purify in Atma? Purification of mind karma can do. Please understand. What I can purify is my mind. And that karma can do. And that's why we are saying karma yoga is required for purification of mind. So karma, there are certain things that karma can do, can achieve, but not Atma. And the last is purify and modify. But already Shruti is telling us that Atma or Brahman is unchangeable. So how karma can do that? That is why it is said na karma. So no amount of karma can get you that final reality. But then what happens is, why am I doing all this karma? Question comes, why should I even do karma then? Why don't I just sit? Because the mind is impure. And to purify the mind, karma is required. And why do I need a purified mind? Without purified mind, I cannot get Atma. And that's why we have seen this idea even in Bhagavad Gita, where Bhagavan says, the one who is not working at all, show him a carrot and bring him into Rajas. From Tamas, come into Rajas. So let him start working, and let him start working for selfish desires also. It's okay. Because working for selfish desires is better than not working at all. So bring him into us, you know, promise him a promotion, a bonus, a raise, whatever. But let him work. When he keeps on working like that for a while, after a while, he will himself start thinking, I've been doing this. What did I get? So maybe now I should convert this karma into karma yoga. So all your karmas should be done as karma yoga. And that is the position of karma. So karma should never be underestimated. It has its place. It has its purpose. But the purpose is not the highest reality. Karma cannot give you that. So if you think that by doing X number of karmas, I'll get it. No. That's why it is said na karmana. The Shruti is not explaining the other details. Huh? This is the beauty of the Upanishad, because it is at a very high level. Actually, what is to be understood just to reading this Upanishad is that this Rishi, the student, has done karma yoga. He has done. So Brahmaji is telling him, okay, you have done, that's fine. You've purified your mind. That's what's what brought you here. But understand that karma cannot give you. So now you have to drop all that. Even karma yoga has to be dropped. In the final stages of Nididhyasana, karma yoga also has to be dropped. Okay. So na karmana, na prajaya, progeny. See, putra, they say, the one who saves you from hell, it seems, is a son. Okay, and that's why people want that progeny. You know, they want, actually they want their family name to be carried or for whatever reason. So maybe he can even save you from hell, but he cannot give you the liberation. No child can give you liberation. Nobody can give you liberation. Okay, because why? You know why? Because we are already liberated. How people can give something which I already have? I already have a head. Can I get another head? Can anybody give me? No. Beautiful face they can, because I think I'm not beautiful. Yes, that somebody can give me, but not a head. So what I already have, nobody can give me. And children can definitely not give. If guru cannot give, how child will give? So no prajaya. Wealth, if I have a lot of money, no. Wealth, again, just like karma, wealth also has its position, has its importance. But it must be understood. Wealth is, first of all, wealth is of two kinds, external and internal. Okay, so here what he's talking about is external wealth. Internal wealth, the virtues, values we need. But they by themselves are not capable of giving the highest reality. We need those so that our mind becomes less and less and less agitated. Because what is causing agitation in the mind are the negative emotions. Kama, krodha, madha, matsara, lobha, all these internal enemies, shadripus they are called. They're called the six enemies of the mind. They are the ones that are causing agitation. So the internal wealth must be developed to stop those agitations. But internal wealth also by itself cannot give liberation. By itself. Okay. If internal wealth can't give you, what to talk of external wealth? But you cannot buy liberation. It's not something in the market. Money has its place. Like I said, money has an objective value and a subjective value. Objective value is you can obtain things. You can get things. You know, in karma, we said I can obtain things. If I want to obtain something, I need money. In this world, whatever, even help to put the pictures up, I need a handyman whom I have to pay. So money I need, and that is the position of money. So there are certain things which money will give me. It will give me a comfortable home, comfortable bed, food, medication. But what money cannot give me is health. I can buy medicine, but I cannot buy good health. That is up to me to cultivate. I cannot buy good health. I can buy food, I cannot buy appetite. That's why, you know, patients, diabetics, right? Or as much food is there, sweets are there, but I can't eat. So money cannot give you that. Money can give you a bed, but not sleep. You might have the most comfortable bed in the world. You may not be able to sleep. Money will not give you sleep, give you bed, give you a house, but may not give you peace of mind. Will not give you peace of mind. If it is used correctly, and if it is known that these are the limitations of wealth, and you stay within those parameters and you use wealth like that, then you will get all this peace of mind, sleep, health, everything. But it cannot give liberation. This is what the teacher is saying here. Na karmana, na prajaya, na dhanena. The na goes with dhanena also. It is not. Okay, karma cannot give me, progeny cannot give me, wealth. And then what will give me? Renunciation alone. Tyaga, tyagena, eke. Alone. Only renunciation. What should I renounce? Identification with the body, mind, and intellect. Chapter 18, we have the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Right? Sarva dharman parityajya. Pari means all. Tyajya is give up. Pari is all round. So all round you give up. The dharmas of the body, mind, and sarva dharman parit. Sarva dharma means dharma of the body and dharma of the mind have to be given up. Now, what is the dharma? Here, this word is very much misunderstood by people because they think that Bhagwan is asking me to leave my Christian dharma, my Muslim dharma, my Jain dharma. You know, even in Hindus, they are, oh, but I am a Jain. Why should I give up my Jain dharma? So people think like that. And that is not the meaning of the word dharma. That is a very, very wrong interpretation of that word. The dharma of the body, there are six. Existence, coming into existence, birth, growth, disease, decay, and death. These are the dharmas. This is the nature of the body. Dharma here means nature. So these are the six dharmas of the body. So when he says sarva dharman parityaja, he says give up those six modifications. What do I mean by give up? I mean, do I physically destroy my body? No, I don't identify with the changes. Means what? What does that mean? I don't identify. I don't get upset because of the changes. I accept that this is the nature of the body. The body is going to get old. The body is going to grow. The body is going to have some or the other disease. And one day the body is going to die. So if I accept this and I don't get upset, then I have now disidentified myself from that body. Body is there. Disidentification doesn't mean do not take care of the body. Please take care. Actually, we are saying take more care of your body so that then there will be no disturbances like this. But when people get upset, when people, just now somebody told me, see one lady, a 59-year-old neurologist traveling from California to New Jersey on the plane, went into the bathroom, had a massive heart attack on the plane, died in the bathroom. People said, oh, he's been gone for so long, they had to break open the door, reroute the plane, landed in Phoenix, he was gone. His mother just lost it. Mom, dad, both are there. She went around, because all his friends were doctors at the funeral. She's like, tear off all your certificates. What kind of doctors are you? You couldn't save my child. That is identification. That is identification. Because absolutely, you can tell there is absolutely no Vedantic knowledge. Right? It's not that no doctor would have died in the world. If doctors could save us, why would they themselves die? It is not possible. Okay? So this is what is meant by sarva dharma. Then the dharma of the mind is kama, krodha, these emotions. Not only the negative ones, but also the positive ones. In the ultimate analysis, positive emotions also have to be dropped because the mind has to be transcended. So when we say transcend the mind, it's not just bad, the negative emotions, the positive emotions also. But in the beginning stages, what we need to give up is the negative emotions, negative thoughts, and cultivate the positive thoughts. That is the internal wealth that we can cultivate. But that's why I told you, even that internal wealth is incapable of giving us liberation. Okay, direct liberation. It will help us because it will be easy to transcend a mind which is not agitated as opposed to a mind which is very agitated. And agitations are caused by negative emotions. All right. Tyagena eke amrutatva anashuhu. This amrutatva, this immortality will come to you, but this is said for the lack of words, come to you. Understand that we are already immortal. It is not like we are now mortal and we will become immortal. No, we are immortal even now, except we don't know that because we think we are the body and therefore we think we are mortals, because the body, we have seen other bodies die and we know that one day we are also going to go. There is no changing that. There's nothing we can do about it. Okay. So this amrutatva, where is it? What is it? Parena nakam. Okay. This word nakam is very interesting. Nakam has got three syllables. It has got na, it has got a, which is making it na, and then the last one is kam. So na, a, kam. Kam means heaven. The meaning of the word, that syllable kam, is heaven. Okay, so a kam, I told you, when you put the prefix a, it becomes opposite. So a kam means not heaven. Kam is heaven. A kam is not heaven. Now what they do is they add a na to it. So not heaven. So not. Two negatives make one positive. And therefore na kam becomes heaven. This is how this word is formed. It's very interesting, you know, nakam. It comes in other texts also, but here it has come. So parena, it is beyond heaven. Why beyond heaven? Because heaven is a point of return. We have also discussed this point very much. Heaven is like you collect a certain, it's like you have some you know, a budget, and then you go and stay in a five-star resort hotel. When that budget is over, you have to come back to your original home. So it's, Swarga is exactly like that. You collect a certain number of merits, you go to heaven, those merits exhaust themselves, because, you know, depending on how much money you have, that much you will stay. You know, one person might have enough money only for a week. Somebody else might have for a month. Somebody else might have for a year. Same thing is with heaven. I go with merits. I either have 1 week. Of course, the 1 week of heaven is much longer than our 1 week. But I'm just telling you, I might have for 1 week. Somebody else might have for 1 month. Somebody else might have for 1 year, 10 years. But after that, they have to come back here only, this place only. So that's why it is high. Because this Amrutatva is a point of no return. You go there, you will never come back. It is final realization. It is freedom from the thraldom of sansar. And sansar is the cycle of birth and death. So that's why it says, Parena nakam nihitam guhayam. Nihitam, hidden in the guha, in the cave. The reason this guhayam word is used, it's used in many Upanishads. Kathopanishad also says the same thing. Is to indicate to the student that if you want to look for this Amrutatva, if you want to look for this Atma, where to look? See, because Shruti is saying it is all pervading. Okay. Question might arise, why not I look at the computer? Is it in the computer? Yeah, it is in the computer. Because you see, if you say it is not in the computer, then what, all pervading thing will be negated. So I have to say it is, then why can't I meditate on the computer? It's in my wife, my beautiful wife, right? Or my handsome husband. So let me meditate on my husband or my wife. No. You cannot meditate for Atma on anything external, because it has a name and a form and you're going to get lost. So that's why all of these indicate this word guha, 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 cave. It is as though hidden. In Kathopanishad, it says angushtamatram purusham. Is the size of a thumb, really? That is not what the literal meaning should not be taken. It is present, and the heart, spiritual heart, is on the right side, by the way. It is not the fleshy heart that we talk about. When in meditation, they tell us to concentrate on the heart. If you remember chapter 6, Bhagwan said concentrate on the, you know, this chakra. This is in between the eyebrows. There also they tell us to concentrate. Or the heart, okay, and the spiritual heart, which is on the right side. So it is not a physical heart that we are concentrating on. If we concentrate on the physical heart, then we will come to know how left ventricle, right ventricle, this is this, this one, what, auricle and ventricle. Na? Auricle takes the blood in, no, ventricle, whatever. One takes the blood in, one, all that we will meditate on. We don't want to meditate on the physical aspect of the heart. Therefore, it is the spiritual heart, it is said. And it is as though hidden. I told you this, hidden. It's a secret, because not everybody can get to it. Not everybody is qualified to know it. Not everybody even wants to know it. So, nihitam gohayam vibhrajate yat yatayo. Yatayo is to strive. It's strive. So, these sages, those who strive hard, they enter that cave. Okay? Not a physical cave outside, but they become so introverted, they go inside, and finally they find this Atma, which is Amrutatva, Amrutam, immortal. All right? So, na karmana, not by action, not by progeny, not by wealth, but by renunciation. Renunciation of what? Renunciation first of the external world also, and then the ego. That's why I told you. And when will I renounce something? That is another thing. When will I renounce? When I have the discrimination. Renunciation cannot come without discrimination. So I have to know that the world is impermanent. I have to have the discrimination to know that there is no happiness in the world. The world is inert. It is not real. It is an illusion. Unless I am very firm in these parameters, I will not give up the world. Why will I give up the world? Something which I which glitters so much for me and which I think is giving me all this happiness. Why will I give it up? I can't. So discrimination becomes very important in renunciation. Okay. So here, so that's the first the world, then your own body, mind and intellect, sarva dharman parityaja. This identification has to be, you know, at our stage, we can at least start reducing it. And the way to reduce it is not be so upset, you know, one wrinkle, now suddenly I'm upset, one gray hair, now I'm running to, you know, to color it. At least don't be that much bothered about it. That is what I would recommend. Because suddenly to say that it might be difficult. But, you know, if you, this, and the test for renunciation is, in your own mind, you must know how upset or not you are. Because see, externally you can say anything. No, I'm not upset. It's okay. This, that, and all. So that's internally. Are you upset looking at your own gray hair? Are you upset looking at the wrinkles? Are you upset that your body is cannot do X number of things? Are you, how do you feel about it? Right? And you must accept that this is the nature of the body. There's not much I can do about it. See, this Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhasam, this is the knowledge that we have to gain. It is said that 1/4 of the knowledge is gained by Shravanam, quarter. The other quarter comes from Mananam. And the third quarter comes as we mature. Mature means what? As we start experiencing it ourselves. What is maturity? Maturity is when we experience the thing ourselves. See, now the teacher is telling us the world is not real. It is an illusion. There is no happiness in the world. As we mature, as we grow older, then we think, you know, yeah, this thing used to give me so much happiness. Now it doesn't. Right? I used to be so excited to go out and parties and dress up and this and that. But now it doesn't. So our own experience also must lead us to what the guru is saying, what the teaching is telling us. What happens is, you know, people, even people who listen, they only listen. The intrinsic change is not there. And then that change doesn't come and they sing, oh, I've been listening for so long, nothing happened. But unless you change yourself, something cannot happen. Then the last quarter is from Nididhyasana. The final realization will always come from Dhyana. Meditation, Nididhyasana. To reach that higher state of meditation is a long, long way, but, you know, but not impossible. Okay. What is to be given up mainly is the ego, the sense of I. And the sense of I can be given up when the sense of my is reduced. First, the my has, you know, my house, my children, my car, my this, my dog. All this my, when we tone it down a little bit, then the I will start toning down. So this is what we should watch. So what we should watch is, you know, in our own conversations, certain things like, don't talk about your children unless you're directly asked. At least as spiritual seekers. Huh? I'm not talking of ordinary. I meet only most of the people that I meet socially are all, they're not in Vedanta. That's all they talk about. My child, my grandchild. Oh God, grandparents are very dangerous. Immediately they'll start of their grandchild, which is, you know, like they never ever has any, I have met people like, I have honestly met, you know, like that's it. Some other grandmothers, and you say, how is your, my grandchild. This grandmother will come in between and talk. That minus, that indicates a lot of ego, a lot of identification. So as spiritual seekers, we must try to tone it. If we want, we are in this path, if we want to progress, then that is something that we should avoid. Okay, just a tip. All right. Vedanta vidyana sunishchitarthaha. Vedanta vidyana. Vedanta Janita Vidnyana. This is the first two. The first line here in this refers to a realized master. It is a realized master. It is not for us, like not for seekers. It is for those who have reached. Now, what is happening? Now, the previous one, they came to know it was not karma. It was not dhanena, prajaya. It was by tyaga. So they have done the tyaga of the world. They have done the tyaga, the renunciation of the ego. They have gone in, they have realized it is higher than heaven, and they've gone into the cave of the heart, and they have now realized. So Vedanta Janita Vidyana, it is Janita, born. Born out of this knowledge is the wisdom. Vidyana is wisdom. Jnana is knowledge. Okay, so there is knowledge and then there is wisdom. Wisdom is the experience. So in the earlier verse, we got the knowledge, or they got the knowledge, right? They got the knowledge. Okay, forget karma, forget karma yoga also, because karma yoga is also not going to give it to you. I've done that. I purified my, no, this. So that knowledge they got. Now born out of that knowledge, they went and did meditation, and now they got vijnana. They got the wisdom, they got the experience. All right, Vedanta Janit Sunishchita Arthaha, like very well, Nishchita, definitive. Su means very well. So Artha here doesn't mean meaning. Artha in Marathi or Hindi, Artha means meaning. Iska Artha kya hai, we say. What is the meaning? It is not the meaning, it is the object. Artha here should be taken as wealth, and what is the wealth that they were looking for is this immortality. So this object, they very well got it now. Means what? Means they recognize their oneness with the supreme reality. Means they realize, basically. That's why that first line is referring to a realized master. Okay, so it refers to the object of knowledge, and that itself is the wealth. So artha, one meaning of artha is wealth. One meaning of artha is meaning, just meaning, plain. This is the meaning. And here, this must be taken as wealth, but not material wealth, but spiritual wealth. So, Sunishit. How did they get it? Sannyasa yogat de yatayat shuddha sattvaha. So, sannyasa yoga they took. Sannyasa, samyak nyasa. That is the break of the word. Sannyasa is samyak nyasa. Nyasa is to throw. Ni as. Nyasa comes from ni and us. Us is to throw. Ni means very well thrown. Very well. Okay. Like Upanishad also is there, right? Upani. Nishayatmak buddhi. Right? Upanishad. So that ni us means very well thrown. With nishcha it has been thrown. What has been thrown? Identification. That's what's meant by sannyas. So that sannyasi, when we say, he is a person who is very well renounced sarvadharma. He has done sarvadharman parityaja, means the dharmas of the body and the mind. Samyak nyasa. The thing is, you throw away that which is not you, but then you hold on to that which is you. And what is you is that Atma, that Parabrahma. Okay? Sannyasa yogat. Oh, did I read this? No, I didn't. Those who are pure in mind, striving through the path of renunciation, come to ascertain clearly the deeper imports of the knowledge, which is the theme of the Upanishads, Vedanta. They in the end gain the world of Brahma, and liberating themselves from everything, gain the highest immortality. Okay? So first line, Vedanta Janita Vijnana, the wisdom that is born out of this knowledge. So Vijnana born out of Jnana, Sunishchita Artha. So this object of knowledge, which is the Atma, which is Brahman, very well they have gotten it. And how did they get it? In Sannyasa Yoga. Because of Sannyasa Yoga they got it. So Sannyasa, Samyak Nyasa, throwing away very well, throwing away the identification very well with the body, with the mind, with the intellect. This identification has been cut off completely, because of which they have now reached that state of immortality. Shuddha sattvaha. Sattva here must be taken as mind. Okay? Because sattva, see sattva, when we say sattva, then we think of sattva, rajas, tamas, gunas. But here in the mystic language of the Upanishads, sattva refers to mind, because mind has come from the sattvic aspect of the elements. And that's why in the Upanishads, when the word sattva used, not all the time, but most of the time, sattva will refer to the mind. So shuddha sattva means not that purified sattva guna, there is nothing to, not that, purified mind. Okay, so with an extremely purified mind, they, when they took very well, they did sannyas, means very well they renounced, not wore orange clothes only, very well they renounced this identification. Usually, you know, in Sanskrit language, the meaning starts from the other end, like Urdu. This way you have to actually go. That's why here, shuddha. So first, with a purified mind, they have done sannyas. They have done samyak nyas. They have thrown away the identification. And now what has happened to them is, because of that, Vedanta Janita Vijnana has arisen. This is how this line is to be understood. So it is a realized master. Basically, it is referring to a realized master. Okay. Te brahmalokeshu paraantakale. Brahmaloka here must not be taken as the brahmaloka that we have been talking about. You know, Brahmaji is the deity of brahmaloka, and in brahmaloka people will go. This Brahma is Brahman. So brahmalokeshu means they attain that state of immortality, that point of no return, paramam padam, which Bhagavan Shri Krishna calls in Bhagavad Gita. So Brahma Lokeshu, they go to this Brahma Loka, means please not this Loka, which is a point of return. Brahma Loka also is a point of return. So not that Brahma Loka. Brahma Loka here means Brahman. So it's the immortality they reach. Para Anta Kale, Para Anta. Para is the supreme Anta end. Supreme end is what? Death to the body. Paraanta kale, kale time. At the time of the supreme end. Supreme end is only to the body. There is no end to Brahman. So at the time of death, their death, they will go to this Brahmaloka, not Brahmaji's Brahmaloka, Bhagwan's, the highest reality, pure consciousness. Para amrutata parimuchanti sarve. Para amruta. So this is what tells the Brahma Lokeshu is para supreme again. Amruta, immortality. Having gained that perfect immortality, that perfect realization, that supreme realization, that supreme state, that supreme pure consciousness. Because they parimuchanti sarve, muchanti is to release, liberate, give up. So pari from all round. So having given up all this ephemeral world, which includes not only this world, the body, mind and intellect mainly, having given this up, that's why para antakale. So at the end, physically also this body has been given up. Previously, identification was given up. When we say we give up identification, it means the body is there and it is going through its changes, but I am not identifying with that, meaning I am not getting affected by that. Okay? But para anta kale means final end. Para is supreme. So supreme means when the final end. So final end is the physical death of the body. So what is being said is, at the end of their time, their physical body, when they drop the physical body, they then go to Brahmaloka, which is here meaning Brahman and not Brahmaloka. Because while living, they have realized they have been liberated while living. After death, they will have Videha Mukti. See, in Mukti, there is Krama Mukti is there. Chapter 8, when we study, it will come. There is Jivan Mukti and then there is Videha Mukti. Okay, three Muktis are there. Then there is Sayujya Mukti and all that Bhakti. Bhakti Shastra gives another four type of Muktis. But that is, you become one like Lord and you become his close friend and all that. That is different. But in Vedanta, when we talk of Vedanta knowledge, there is Krama Mukti, Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. Now, Krama Mukti is when you go to the higher worlds and you go on climbing up and up and up. And now Krama Mukti, through, how do I get the higher worlds? Is through karma. Okay. So you do karma, you go to Swarga, then you come back, then you do more karma, then you get a higher world, then you do even more karma, then you get even a higher world. Like that, you can go up to Brahmaloka. Karma can take you up to Brahmaloka. Please understand that. But point is that Brahmaloka, you can come back from Brahmaloka also. They say that in Brahmaloka, because it is the highest world, Brahmaji is the presiding deity there. He is himself a realized master. So he will give the knowledge. And at the end of Pralaya, you will get Mukti. So at the end of Pralaya, when Pralaya happens, at the end of the creation, when Pralaya is going to happen, that time you will get Mukti. And therefore it is called Krama Mukti. It is Mukti in stages. The danger with the Mukti in stages is that from any stage, there is a chance of falling. See, Brahmaji might be giving you the knowledge, but there's no guarantee that you will understand it. That guarantee is not there. Okay, so doesn't matter, the teacher might be the highest teacher, but are you, you know, capable of understanding what that teacher is saying? So that's why this Krama Mukti, Bhagavan Shankaracharya doesn't recommend it. The Karma Kandins usually say, you know, Krama Mukti will be there, keep doing good karma, keep doing good karma. But that's like iffy path. Jivan Mukti is liberated while living. Jivan Mukti. In this Jivan itself, in this life itself, there is Mukti. And that Mukti is what is being talked about here. So this Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitarthe, this is what they're talking here, that while living, this person has purified his mind. He has then done sannyas. He has done renunciation of this dharmas of the body and the mind. And then in the seat of meditation, this Vedanta Janita Vijnana has arisen in him. Means he has then experienced his true nature, and because of that he is a Jivan Mukta. Now when his body falls, para antakale, when his body falls, he goes straight to Brahman. He merges with the pure consciousness, which is a point of no return. Okay, we'll stop here today. Are there any questions? From next verse onwards, he is going to start the tips on meditation. Because in this, he said how he got it. He got it because of this dhyana. Now, what should the student do? Ashwalayana. This is what Brahmaji will tell. So we will stop here. Are there any questions? If anybody wants to ask any questions. Because then the next verse I can't complete in 6 minutes. So... no questions? Everybody's all okay. We shall meet next Monday. All right. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Please don't disconnect. There is one announcement that I need to tell you all. So basically, there was a Acharya's conference that happened in Pune from February 28th to March 4th, in which I am being told that the title Acharya has been discontinued for all of us. So officially, unfortunately, I have still not received any communication from CCMT. But two sources have told me this, that there is no more this title. So what I would request Ashok or Abhimanyu, that when you send out the email, don't say Acharya Jayaji's, just say Jayaji's lecture. Okay, because that title is no longer there. Though officially, like I said, there is no communication, but I am telling my classes. So I'm telling all of you as well. And when the official communication comes, then of course it will come to you guys too. Or then Swamiji is coming anyway. Mukhya Swami is coming at that time. We will know more details. But for now, I'm told that the word Acharya, the title Acharya, should not be used. It is no longer there. Okay. So with that, I will take your leave and I shall see you next Monday. Okay.
Thank you.
Hari Om.
Hari Om.